Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We
what
are
up,
the What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen Rose, joining us today on the show is none other than LL Cool J, the founder and CEO of Rock the Bells, legend in the game. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Absolutely. My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
So the first thing I want to know is about Rock the Bells brand and how you're expanding it in this movement that you started.
Yeah, well, Rock the Bells is a modern media platform that we've created. And it's basically for Gen X classic hip hop fans. You have, you know, for so many years, you know, a lot of the Gen X fans who love classic and timeless hip hop weren't getting a chance to really be able, they didn't have the chance to really dive into, you know, the culture, and touch the artists they love, hear the music they love, explore the culture the way they really want to. So I created this platform. The difference is that this platform, not only did I get great strategic investors, but I made other part members of the community owners. Run DMC has ownership. Roxanne Shanté, Big Daddy Kane has ownership. You know, so many different people. Fab Five Freddy has ownership. It's Salt and Pepper has ownership. I just wanted to make sure that we not only did something phenomenal for the community that was black owned, but really gave the classic hip hop culture an opportunity to own something that they built for the first time. Because for so many years, you had all these mega trillionaire corporations. They were the ones that were always benefiting off the culture. So now when you go to rockthebells.com, not only can you go to the Commerce Hub and buy all kinds of products, anything associated with hip hop, whether it's a do-rag or, you know, extensions for your hair, not only can you do that, but you can go there and read about Big Daddy Kane and read about Kool Herc and read about, you know, where this hip hop culture started from and really learn about the culture as a whole. So, we're just controlling the narrative. You know, history is written by the winners, and I wanted to do something great for the community and great for the culture. And that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Ladies love Cool J. So Bubba Wallace shows up at work and he's a NASCAR driver and he just has a noose in his personal area. Yeah. What do you feel like NASCAR should do about their racism issue?
You know, hey, look, racism isn't only organizational. It's really, and it's not only institutional. It's really in the hearts and minds of racists, right? So they're going to just really have to weed out, you know, those racist people. As these things come up, as people make comments, they're going to have to decide who they want to be in business with. And, you know, at the end of the day, he made a statement. It was a positive statement, and he shouldn't have to, you know, go to work and find a noose, you know, in his car or a noose, you know, near his property. I mean, this is just, you know, systemic racism, you know, and institutional racism in general starts in the hearts of people. It's not like, you know, you can't point to a building and say the building's racist. It's people. You know what I'm saying? It's the individual. So we really have to take a look at it. And I also think that we have to take a stronger look at implicit bias, because I think that there are a lot of people who may not consider themselves racist, but tolerate certain things that they shouldn't. But it's good to, what I will say on the positive side is it's good to see so many people of all ethnicities on the right side of history now really putting their, you know, themselves on the line and stepping up and saying, you know what, we're not into that anymore. We recognize it, we see it, and we're not with it anymore. We're going to stop it.
Well, I mean, it's not a sprint, it's not a marathon, it's a lifetime commitment to fighting social injustice and sort of undoing the systemic racism. And it's going to take contributions from everybody, including NBA players. Now, there's a little bit of debate from NBA players is, should we go into the Orlando bubble and play basketball? That might distract from this movement. That might not actually help the movement, might hurt it. Or do we use that attention that will be on us as a platform to help the movement? Which way do you think that NBA players should go?
I think it really depends on how they would use the platform, right? It really depends on how they use the platform. I think that's ultimately what it's about, because this is a really important time, and this is a time where history is on the line. You know, if we look at history and we take somebody like Muhammad Ali, a lot of his greatest social work was done when he was, you know, which was one of the big travesties, when he was stripped of his title, stripped of his belt, and wasn't boxing, right? That's when he made a really huge social impact. So, you know, looking at history, there's something to be said for the idea of not playing and focusing on the social injustices that are going on from a precedent standpoint. You know, when you look at how Ali made the impact. Now, that being said, there are, I'm sure, some players who need to feed their families. Everybody's not in the same financial position and doesn't have the same luxury of laying back. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration as well. So, you know, I think that, you know, the Players Association really has to take a hard look at it. Do they want some of the players to play and not all of them? Do they want to, you know, give out some stipends? Do they want to just, you know, is it time to just sacrifice? You know what I mean? Because real people, you know, around the country, they're suffering for real. They don't have, you know, these salaries. They don't have, you know, all the luxuries of, you know, maybe I'll go to work and make $1 million. They're like suffering. You got people living in the projects. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's tough. So, I would say that the focus needs to stay on the movement. But I do understand there is something to be said for using your platform, to move it forward. But I would say, you know, you got to focus on the movement right now. The movement is what's important because 200-300 years from now, we're going to be remembered for how we address this moment and how we deal with this moment, not for how many points we score.
Absolutely. And as a seasoned vet, an activist, a philanthropist, an actor, an entrepreneur, can you talk to our audience about the power of the dollar? I saw a stat that it stays in our community for 6 hours. And you just acknowledged some of the players will need to go play because they need to feed their families. So in other words, if money wasn't an issue, you take that power and you use the platform the way you see fit. Can you talk about how change is now happening because Black voices have now realized the importance and the power of the Black dollar?
Jalen, let me tell you something. The whole reason I started rockthebells.com, and I mean this sincerely, is about empowering our people. It's about building something for the future. It's about giving the people who built the culture an opportunity to participate in capturing value. All right. So many. And so economic empowerment is absolutely key. And a lot of times it's not about, you know, making $1 zillion. It's about not living above your means. It's about, you know, not seeing how many diamond chains you could buy and how many cars you can have. It's about kind of keeping life simple. But economic power is super, super duper important. I mean, Generation X, from what I understand, just the X in general has about $2.4 trillion in buying power. A certain portion of that is Black and brown, you know, women. I mean, look, we have to support our own. You know what I mean? To not you go to check out, you know, a big three basketball game is a travesty. To not, you know, go and support, you know, go on rockthebells.com and buy products is a travesty. We have to support our own and we have to be economically empowered. And that comes from just keeping the money and letting it circulate. Now, mind you, this is not about being excluding people. I think that, you know, I think Black people in general, we want to participate in capitalism in America and be part of, you know, what's going on in America. We're just saying, don't push us out. We're not saying that nobody else can be included, but we want to be included as well. And it's not only about having a seat at the table, it's about having your own table. You know what I'm saying? So I would just encourage people to participate, to support our own. Yes, you can still, we're not trying to do anything and say you can't buy anything from anyone else, but buy some. Let's go to these Black businesses. Go from the Black restaurants. Buy some of their stuff. Buy from Black clothing lines. Spend your money with them. We don't have a problem with all of the high-end, you know, companies out there. You know, it is what it is. But let's support each other as well. And I think that'll make the country better. I think if the Black community and the brown community, if we really support our own, it'll only be better for the entire country. You know what I'm saying? It makes the country better. It's a better narrative for the country as a whole.
That is so well said, and we appreciate you joining us on the television show. Don't forget, we have exclusive content with LL Cool J on our podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that. We've got new information about Dak Prescott. 2 minutes, Jalen Jacoby returns.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. And in part by Wendy's 2 for $5. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is exclusive content for the podcast listeners. And we have LL Cool J with us. You gave us some great answers during the television part about the power of the black dollar and what you're doing with Rock the Bells and so much that you are doing. But there's one more thing we need you to do, LL. Hmm. We're all in the quarantine. We're all stuck at home. We're all on our phones all the time. We need you in a versus battle. All right? We need you in a versus battle. That's something else you got to do for the people. You do a lot for the people, but the people need this from you too. Now, I know you've been thinking about it. This isn't the first time this has been brought up. So any
heavyweights always paying attention to who else is fighting.
Listen. Like I told Swiss, listen, man, you just got to give me somebody who's going to really make it crazy and make it exciting. You know what I'm saying? I'm totally open to it. I'm not like, you know, I'm not ducking and dodging. I'm with it, but it just got to be somebody that's going to make it really crazy, exciting and fun. And I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? Like just name, you know, pick somebody great that's going to be like, make it crazy. Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm
going to throw some names.
I have one.
Oh, go, Jay. Go, Jay.
Go ahead, Jacoby. Go ahead, Jacoby. I have one.
I got a few.
First off, if you're going to battle LL, you got to at least be in the game 20 years or I don't want to hear from you.
You can't just be a fad. You can't be a five-year fad that came out with two dope albums. You have to be decades.
It's like somebody trying to fight Mike Tyson. It's like no.
Exactly.
It's like no.
I got one for you. So you want to be crazy.
So
you want to be fun.
Only two people kind of come to mind, and I know they're both from New York, and I know you love both of these guys. But one of them is Busta Rhymes and the other is Jay-Z. Those are the people that come to mind for me, LL. What are your thoughts?
I mean, listen, I don't know. It's something to think about. You know what I mean? If they want to have fun, you know, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. You never know. It's interesting. It's not, not a bad idea.
Hold on, Jacoby. Wait.
Hold on, y'all.
Wait. This guy, wait a minute, has crushed some legendary MCs in battles. Okay. Like, I know a lot of you guys right now see LL getting awards and y'all see the platinum plaques up there. Y'all see him acting on TV and acting in movies, but he done destroyed some careers battling. So I know you've thought about this. I know you sized some people up. So who have you sized up?
I'm not going to say it because that's going to put me at a disadvantage. If they want it, they got to come get it. You know what I mean? If they want it, come get it. I'm totally open to it. There's no problem. But if you want it, come get it. I'm not going to put myself at a disadvantage.
I will say this is, we always act like these are competitions, but they're really celebrations of the two artists that get involved. You know what I mean? Like, the culture wins. It's not like after one, we're like, oh, so-and-so won and so-and-so didn't. No, there's a competitive element to it.
The culture wins, and everybody says it's a celebration, but it's competition. You know,
Correct.
The culture wins because of the competition.
I'm just trying to get you to do it. That's all.
I think it's fun, though.
Like, I still feel bad for Teddy Riley, and his sound wasn't good. And I think, who else was it? Nelly? Somebody's sound wasn't good. I feel bad for these guys, man. So you got to listen to Ladies Love. If he going to show up, he going to come correct. I see Kumo D battles, cannabis.
Yeah. We gotta let L go. He's busy. You know what I mean? He's got multiple businesses and television shows and 17 different careers. Really appreciate you taking the time. Appreciate everything you're doing. We rock the bells, man. We really appreciate everything you're doing.
Thanks for having me. I definitely stay tuned on that. Very good question. We're going to see what happens and I appreciate you. And I just want to remind everybody, check out rockthebells.com. It's dope. And thanks, man. Salute.
One more thing. And you probably did this on Rock the Bells because I remember being in a middle school talent show and taking a muscle bound man and putting his face in the sand. So I went from hearing those verses to you doing a very important verse freestyle about Black Lives Matter. Why was that so very important to you?
Because, you know, I just was tossing and turning in the bed all night and just got out of the bed at 7 in the morning and had to say something. This is a time in history when you can't be neutral. You got to choose sides. And I decided to say something that I was feeling from my spirit and for me, for my people, and for the world. And I didn't know that it was going to become the viral thing that it became and, you know, get millions and millions of views and all that. I just did it from the heart. And I'm just, you know, I just believe that we have to choose sides right now and we have to be on the right side of history. And the pain is too great. You know, I don't want to sit around and watch unarmed black men get killed and murdered, you know, by bad policing. You know what I'm saying? So I just had to do it, man. I felt like, you know, it was in my spirit. I was inspired to do it and I did it. I haven't written anything in a long time. And that was just the first time I felt like I needed to say something. I didn't want to talk just to be talking. I literally had something to say and I shared my truth.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Much That's love. Fun. I appreciate y'all,
Thanks
man.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we'll right, see you soon.
Thank you.
All right, yes, one sir. Love, baby.
Love.
Love.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Want to thank LL Cool J for coming through and encourage you to listen to the podcast because we always have exclusive content on our podcast. We have some today with LL Cool J. Jalen, we have some big news. Dak Prescott. He's going to sign a $31.4 million franchise tender. However, he has until July 15th to work out a long-term deal with the Cowboys. Do you think that signing the tender will hurt his leverage in getting a long-term deal done?
I think it helps his leverage and it furthers the relationship in acknowledging that you're negotiating in good faith. I appreciate that I'm going to get a substantial raise. So I'm going to sign my franchise tag. However, if we don't get a deal done by July 15th, you might as well flip over the hourglass and Kirk Cousins style 3-2-1. Unless you pay him to be there so very much that he can't turn it down, he's going to be looking to play elsewhere. And that's how I think this plays out if they don't get a deal done.
I mean, $31 million is a very good number to play quarterback in the NFL. However, when you only get it for 1 year, you can only get franchised twice. I really want to see the Cowboys and Dak work out a long-term deal before July 15th because, you know, injuries can happen. And it seems like he's been playing for his next contract for the past three seasons. I don't want to see him have to do it again. But the question is, who is he going to do it with? Jamal Adams of the Jets has told ESPN's Rich Cimini that he wants to be traded. Interesting. Now, if you don't watch a lot of Jet games, you might not know just how good Jamal Adams is at football. He's one of the best players in the league, easily the best player on the Jets. But when he was riding around Texas, here was an interaction that he had with a fan.
What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, you coming to Dallas?
Hey, man, I'm trying, bro.
He's trying to get to Dallas, Jalen. What do you think?
First off, them throwback G-Wagons still so very dope. The other thing is NFL players are going to mirror NBA players based on the fact where they get picked in a type of organization during their rookie deal. If you get drafted by my Lions or probably the Jets, see Darius Slay, for example, after your rookie deal, you're trying to bounce. In his case, you see where he is? Trying to roll with the Cowboys. They just drafted well. They just took care of most of their players. Dak signed a franchise tender. They're going to be on TV in every conversation about the NFL. So he's trying to roll with the Cowboys star. Sorry, Jets. Get a deal done. Pay him to stay like the Cowboys going to have to do that.
I would love to see Jamal Adams on a big-time team. When we come back, we have some more trouble about the NBA bubble. We'll break that down for you in just 2 minutes when Jalen Jacoby returns. You got to give the people, give the people
what they want. Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
This was never just a game.
People have to change their view of us.
And it's shown us that humanity is greater than anything else that divides us.
We're actually living and breathing human beings.
We have a right to make it known, loud and clear.
My patience left my body when I watched George Floyd take his last breath.
Our lives matter.
Listen, I know there's a lot going on in the world right now, and we're all stuck in quarantine on our phones. We're doing our shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They're offering fast, free, no contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. Right now, you can visit att.com and learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change. Restrictions apply. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it is time for another NBA bubble update. The latest is this. As corona cases spike in Florida, the NBA looks to head to Florida. There is a concern Adam Silver voiced this weekend about the coronavirus and the spiking down there and the outbreak. Jalen, if you're an NBA player, how hesitant would you be to commit to this bubble idea?
Very hesitant. And you heard Lou Williams say he was 50-50. And here's why, Jacoby. It's a duality. You can't isolate what's happening with coronavirus versus what's happening as it relates to the social unrest of the killing of unarmed black men by law enforcement or vigilantes. You just can't ignore it. And with a league that's over 70% black, it's going to permeate throughout their households and throughout the communities. So this is not a done deal that all players and teams from every squad is going to end up and each roster is going to be filled out with players enthusiastic and ready to play basketball right now.
Well, we will hope for the best and prepare for the worst. While the NBA themselves can quarantine, the people that work at the hotels, the people that make their food, those people will be going in and out of the bubble, which could cause a problem. I want to thank LL Cool J for coming by and everything that he's doing with Rock
Ladies
the Bells.
Love
make sure you listen to our podcast where we have exclusive content.
Cool J.
Coming up next is Dan Le Batard and Highly
thank
Questionable.
You.
We'll be
thank
back.
You. You're far too kind.
Jalen Rose, I want to talk more about Dak Prescott because on the television portion, we can only talk for so long. But I think the Prescott thing is more layered than that. $31 million seems like a fair number for Dak Prescott, doesn't it? Seems like a fair number for him.
$31 million is a fair number for anyone to do anything. But it just so happens that he plays football in the NFL, and his peers like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, all signed deals with those teams in excess of $100 million. And even though I graduated from high school and college, never been a math major, I do know 100 is greater than 30.
Yes, facts. I can't confirm that. I can confirm that 100 is greater than 30 anyway.
Okay.
I also feel like
so that's the disconnect.
Like if I want to see this get done. And see, this feels like the same thing that happened with Ezekiel Elliott. It feels like the exact same thing. Like, why are you going to make us go through this again? Get this deal done because the Cowboys are putting together a nice little roster. You know, they're putting together a nice little thing that they have. And especially with the addition of CeeDee Lamb in the draft, I have high hopes for him as well. I think the Cowboys are easily my favorite in their terrible division, but also could definitely make some noise in the NFC at large. Now, Jalen, I want to thank LL Cool J for coming on. But who do you think would be the perfect versus cohort for him to go against? Because he's not in the conversation this time around.
I was serious. I think Buster or Jay-Z.
See, I think that those are both worthy opponents. Vegas does not have him as a favorite against Jay-Z. Vegas does have him a favorite against Busta. And also, you have to think about the show. Two different energies. You know, Busta's loud and big, and I think he would put on a better show where Jay-Z is more laid back and sort of calm. And I feel like Busta LL would just have so much energy that it would really be a better show, and he would also win the battle. So that's the one I'm rooting for.
But if you think about LL's career, he's been able to be a subdued MC and a conscious one. He's also always made classic hits for the ladies and about love and about relationships. And then he just his turn on the song, start the beat, rap the entire time type of records where he just delivered bars. So
he's got more hits than you think. LL Cool J has more hits than you think.
So he got songs like Going Back to Cali. Then he got songs like I'm Bad. Those are two different records. Two different paces, different tempos.
So many.
So that's why I say those two artists.
I'm going to bring something up that you said off wax. I'm going to bring it on wax. You said that basically Drake is kind of a modern day LL, and I haven't heard that yet. And I don't think musically that's necessarily true. You know what I mean? Because LL was more of a traditional rapper than Drake is. But sort of the way that they speak to women, the way that they focus their content on romantic relationships, and just being like the biggest star in the game. I would say I've never heard that comparison before, but it's a good one. And I never give you compliments.
Thank you. I remember the mid to late 80s and through the 90s. And I want to remind people something. LL probably had I Can't Live Without My Radio in like 1984, if I'm not mistaken. That's 30 years. Wait a minute. That is 30 years. Okay? And so how do you last 30 years at different points of your career? You have to elevate yourself and separate yourself from the pack. And I remember going to a tour that was called Nitro Tour. And you know who was headlining it? LL.
The Nitro Tour?
And you know who else was on it? Run DMC, Big Daddy Kane, Slick Rick, Houdini. But you know who was headlining it? Who came out with his shirt off? When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall. LL, as an artist, was like Holly Berry showing her boobs. It took him 25 years to show his hair. 25 years. I want to know what they put in Holly Berry's contract on Swordfish. I want to know what's in that contract. Because whatever that is, it's in LL's contract.
Yo, you just gave me a great throwback. A great throwback. Because you remember the old Grantland days in the studio in Los Angeles? We used to talk about Halle Berry all the time. And all of one day, you just came and you're like, yo, dog. I'm like, what? He's like, we got to stop talking about Halle Berry so much. I completely forgot about your obsession with Halle Berry. We used to talk about Halle Berry every day on the show. Something happened in your personal life. I don't know if it was Molly. I don't know if it was one of your homeboys. I don't know if it's just some soul searching you did, but it was just like, you know what? Like, I can't be stuck on Halle Berry anymore.
Well, here's what happened. I realized that I'm an adult and these microphones broadcast to the public and I can't be salivating over another human being that probably doesn't even know I exist on my television show. That's probably not the righteous thing to do. That's just not fair.
Two things. You quit cussing overnight and you quit Halle Berry overnight. Just made a decision. I did it with cigarettes. I'm not doing this again. I quit cigarettes.
It was
you quit
an addiction.
Cussing. You also quit Halle Berry.
It was an addiction.
It was an addiction. It was an addiction. Yeah, you're recovered. You're a recovered Halle Berry addict. Congratulations.
And so for LL, he's reinvented himself as artist that makes songs, battle rapper, MC, performer, intellect, actor, CEO, philanthropist. entrepreneur, legend. And so those levels of growth and to see him do that, it reminds me so very much of the trajectory of Drake. It was like I watched MJ's career and then I watched Kobe's career and was like, that reminded me of him. He's the remix. Yeah, Kobe didn't stick his tongue out when he played, and there's a lot of different things about them, of course. But they reminded me of one another. And I believe if you ask Drake to name him the artist that probably inspires his style the most, I would be interested to see who he says. For me, I believe the answer should be James Todd, LL Cool J.
Jalen, I did some research on the Nitro World Tour. LL Cool J, Public Enemy, Eazy-E and N.W.A.
Eazy-E and N.W.A. Just think about that. Talk to me.
Big Daddy Kane. Big Daddy Kane. Too Short. EPMD.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Is that a concert? Is that a concert?
Soul and Special Ed. Those are big names. That sounds like a long day.
Right. That's a summer jam.
That's a long day. Jam. Can't even put all that in the poster.
That was one show. Public Enemy and NWA. That was at Joe Louis Arena. I was there when allegedly the police force did not want NWA to sing the song Screw the Police. They did it anyway. They threw firecrackers at the stage. People in the Top stands like stage. Myself ducked like they were gunshots. And everybody scattered.
And shut
That's
down
in there?
Eazy-E.
Where are you seeing this at?
Yeah. I'm reading it on a great website called The Undefeated. And they've got the 20 best tours in hip hop all time.
Oh.
And that, that is number six.
Oh. Please give me the top five.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll go 5-1 right now. I mean, first of all, you can put these in, and it's like this is like top five Dead or Alive. You know what I mean? Like you can put these in anything you want.
Wow,
so a couple years later,
artists again. Hold on, wait. LL Cool J, Uncle Chuck D, and Public Enemy, and We Want Eazy and N.W.A. For those that don't know, that means Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Yella, and MC Ren were also there. Eric and Parrish, Making Dollars, were also there. Big Daddy Kane, Scoop Love of My Brother, Scrap Love of the Other. That means they were there. Slick Rick the Ruler and MC Ren was there. Came out in the big throne chair. I remember that. De La. Oh, my goodness. Special Ed. I got it made. That ain't number one. Please give me the top five.
I can't read all these because it'll take forever. But the World's Greatest Rap Show Ever, which is a bad name. World's Greatest Rap Show Ever? Come on now. But that's 1991, 92. Public Enemy. Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Okay.
Latifah.
Okay.
MC Light.
Okay.
Ghetto Boys. Kid Play.
Okay.
Naughty by Nature. Tribe. L.O.N.S.
Ooh.
Oaktown 357. Then we got the Def Jam Tour in 1997. LL Cool J, Houdini, Eric B. and Rakim, Dougie Fresh, Get Fresh.
I saw this.
And that is Public Enemy. And then we have this one.
Can I hit the brakes? Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes.
No.
No.
Hit the brakes.
No. Hit the brakes. There's a theme. You just said three of the six all-time shows. And only one artist, one group is in each one of those shows. Public Enemy.
Public Enemy. Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. Please continue.
I forgot about this one, but this was a big one at the time. Now we're going up to 2000. Up
That's
in Smoke.
That's a chronic tour.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah, Up in Smoke.
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Ice
they
Cube,
real
Eminem.
Cars on the stage.
Dog Pound, Warren G, Nate Dogg, and Exhibit.
Now, I saw that in Boston.
Number
I saw that in Detroit.
Number two, Raising Hell Tour. You know which one this is.
Yes. King from Queens, from Queens come Kings. Run DMC. Let me guess.
There's one you're going to forget.
I was there. But anybody who fell in love with Jalen and Jacoby for 10 years, now you know why I feel the way I feel about this tour. Jacoby just randomly Googled, as we were talking about LL, the top tours of all time. And now you know why I just say, and on the cool check-in. Because I have PTSD from that day. Okay? Trust me. Run DMC, they were there. Slick Rick was there.
Nope.
Houdini was there.
Oh, that's the one I thought you weren't going to get.
So you got they bounced out on the Elite. We are Houdini. Let me finish. We are Houdini. I got to get back into the mode. All right.
Get in the mode.
So, Raising Hell, Houdini, Beastie Boys.
There you go. You're missing one.
We're there. And I'm about to tell you the other one.
I got a hint for you.
Okay.
My hint? You were just talking.
Sure.
You were just talking.
Oh, LL. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, duh. And how about that? Wow. What's number one?
Fresh Fest from 1984. This is before my time. This is before my time. I'm six. Like, I ain't going
to. Not mine. Let me preach to you.
Oh, you can't get any of these.
Let me preach to you.
You can't get.
Of those six shows, like four or five artists in like three or four of those shows. And Slick Rick, LL Cool J, Run DMC, and Houdini are those artists. And Big Daddy Kane. They're in all of those shows.
One thing I found interesting is Too Short was in the Nitro World Tour.
Absolutely.
Too Short's been in the game longer than you think. He's been in the game longer than you think. Yo, he's still coming
popping
out
the trunk. Fresh. When I popped the trunk, hit the deck. Short was in the trunk, beating down the block.
Fresh Fest 1984.
So, all Curtis of our Blow. Podcast listeners, I got to say something to all of our podcast listeners. Why Jacoby do this? We're going to go on a series where we just invite multiple artists that we've named today that we didn't name, entertainers, just to be exclusively on the pod. So don't hesitate to hit us up and say, hey, I've been a fan for a long time and I heard y'all talk about this. Or I heard y'all shout out them. Because when you do, that's the people we want to bring on the show. Because they're part of the family. Wow, Jacoby, I'm glad you gave me that list from the undefeated. Inspires the rest of my day.
There's some things that I know are going to get you. You know what I mean? Talking about like late 80s, early 90s hip hop is always going to get you. Talking about grilling, that's always going to get you.
I'm going Gentleman's to grill Club. When I leave here. I'll be on the, I turn Club. On the grill. Definitely. Oh, no.
Always
you might have to redo this. You might have to reseed this.
I got an update.
If Gentleman's Club is third, you might have to do some reseeding.
We got a problem, Jalen. We got a problem.
Uh-oh.
In a place called Cruisin' Chubby's. I believe it's in Wisconsin Dells, whatever that means. I don't know. They had a coronavirus outbreak, Jay. Cruisin' Chubby's. Cruisin' Chubby's does not seem like the kind of Gentleman's Club I want to go to. They need to rebrand. They really need to rebrand. I don't want to go to Cruisin' Chubby's. Yes, Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin.
Here's what we should do.
Oh, we got problems.
When we retire from the game, when we get Hubie Brown's age, instead of traveling to do games in Denver and Portland, we're going to settle down and just, at 70, 75, open a Gentleman's Club. That's just.
I'm not doing that, Jalen.
And what we won't do is name it that.
I'm not doing that. Yeah, I just want you to know that this is like the people behind the curtain. This is not the first time Jalen has floated out this idea. Like he's not just freestyling. He's floated out this idea a few times, and I can't think of a worse idea. I cannot think of a worse idea. When I'm 70, 75, I don't want to manage employees. I don't want to have day-to-day responsibilities. I don't, you know what? I don't even want to go to a gentleman's club when I'm 70, 75. I'll be doing exactly what I should be doing. Watching TV, playing shuffleboard, golfing every single day, and checking in on my kids and grandkids.
Golfing?
Yeah, I'm old, man. I'll be old. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh,
no. We see our futures different. No, yeah. Not going to be able to do it. Like, shuffleboard. You're
like, where's Sarah? Sarah said she's supposed to be here by 2. Sarah said supposed to, but it's 2:30. She hasn't checked in with the house mom yet. Like, that's what you're going to be doing? Is that what you're going to be doing?
Jacoby. No. Let me bring you behind the curtain on something. No. It's called ownership. No. Jacoby.
Okay.
You're not going to be doing all of that. Let me tell you what you are going to be doing. You're still going to be watching sports. So televisions are going to be available. You're still going to be, you're still going to like music. Music is available.
Okay.
You're still going to want to eat. Great food is going to be
available.
All
these things are true. Yep. Music will be available.
Your favorite golf game at the time will be there.
Did Golden Tee still exist when I'm saying? So we're talking
whatever it is at the time. Whatever it is.
Golden Tee is going to be like a hologram. Right?
Yep. Whatever bird is going, you're going to be standing on the golf course while you in there. It's going to be like you, the golf course, and like 4 or 5 poles. And everybody's going to be entertaining, and the customer's going to be having a great time, and you are too. And Jacoby, when people start to get older, you know, sometimes they start to kind of fold over, like your body, your shoulders start to slump a little bit and stuff like that. Being an owner of a strip club, it's just the opposite. It's like you jumping out of the jack-in-the-box, like, Kha! It's a jolt of enthusiasm.
What are you going to do when someone tweets at Molly Karam, did you listen to the podcast today? Because Jalen wants to retire and start a strip club. And you know what? If you put a Golden Tee in there, I could be persuaded. If you put a Golden Tee in there, I could be persuaded. I could
and
be persuaded.
They're money-making entities. Can we? And you ready for this? Here's something you'll like. How about this? And you could create the best environment for your dancers in the history of strip clubs. You can make sure they get paid top dollar.
It's starting to sound like work. Because one thing I know about Jalen's got notes on everything. He's got notes. Oh, I don't think those should be that color. That blue is too dark. We need to make it light. Like, I feel like he would just walk in there and just start complaining about stuff and making notes, or these fries need to be more crispy. I said extra crispy fries. I don't want that energy. I'll be over in the corner with my Golden Tee. You can do all of that.
And I'll be in the other end with my Golden Tee, too.
I don't even know what that means, and I don't want to find out. I want to thank L Cool J for coming through and talking about very serious, culturally impactful issues. I want to thank Jalen Rose for talking about opening up a strip club in 40 years and complaining about the menu. We are actually off television on Tuesday and Wednesday this week, but Jalen said we got to still do the pod on Tuesday. So we will be back tomorrow with an unstructured podcast exclusive podcast only, like the old days, like we used to in 2011. Just come in, turn everything on.
We have to get Too Short. Since we talked about him today, we might have to get a guest, somebody we named today. That'll be dope.
Do you remember when we never had guests?
Yeah, we wanted the people to fall in love with us. That was a VIP. That's how we had to cut through the industry.
All you do is talk about guests now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not enough. I feel like I'm not enough in this relationship anymore. That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm not enough in this relationship anymore.
I'm 75, dog.
All of a sudden, we got an open marriage. We got a co-host open marriage. He's trying out replacements for me. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I signed up for this. We'll see if I'm back tomorrow or Jalen replaces me with someone else. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.